Praise the Lord. Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
God has heard somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
Obedience is a key part of Christianity. There are many promises that come through obedience. In fact, the word obey is referenced 114 times in the King James Version, and obedience is mentioned 72 times. In today's message, Obey Without Delay, Pastor Joel shares the power of obedience.
And the name of this sermon is Obey Without Delay. It could very well be called Obey and Don't Delay, or Obey and Obey Your Excuses Away, all right? Because with this message, God is teaching on the importance of obeying His commands, and leaving the excuses behind, all right? That's what we're going to talk about. Because when the Lord God gives us a directive or instructions, we are obligated to do as told. We are obligated, we are required to carry out His orders. It's just like the military. We talked about that before. When He says platoon attention, He wants your attention. Then He'll give you the command to move out. Amen? So that's what He does. And we need to know that once God gives us an order or an edict, we don't have the luxury of not responding. Did you know that? We don't have the luxury. He doesn't want us to give Him excuses when He gives us a command or an order. Okay? He wants that order carried out. Now, I've told you all this before. This scripture in Proverbs 16:3, that tells us to commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. All right? And that scripture serves as a nice slice of instruction. It's a word to the wise, which obligates us as Christ followers to ready ourselves. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That means to ready yourself to do the work. Without reservation and without hesitation, we should be ready. We are to be committed and submitted to God. You see, you can't commit until you submit. You've got to be submitted to God. Submitted and committed to God, okay? So we want to move without hesitation when God tells us. And if we do that, our thoughts will already be established. You know, it's muscle memory. You start moving before you even think about it. If the Lord said it, we have to do it. And we have to get to that point, because a lot of times the Lord tells us something, we say, I think it was the Lord. Let me pray on it. But see, if you know Him, you already know it was Him. You see what I mean? So we have to commit to this thing. Saves us a lot of trouble in the end also. So in other words, we'll be of the proper mindset needed to do the work of the Lord. Okay, the proper mindset needed in order for us to carry out God's commands without delays, or just as importantly, without excuses. Without excuses. That word is going to keep coming up. That thing about excuses. Somebody's laughing over there. It's good to know, because God doesn't like excuses. You could say He hates them, really. But He certainly doesn't like them. And there's a reason why God disdains excuses, okay? You see, excuses are generally a way of a means of avoiding taking responsibility. Did you know that? That's what an excuse is. It's a means of avoiding responsibility for our actions, taking the responsibility, or conversely, our lack of action. Okay? It works both ways. Now, as Christ followers, we are to follow God's commands, and you all know this, okay? But often God will give us a command or an assignment which is not carried out. Is that right? Has God ever told you something you didn't do it? I won't ask how many times, because we'd be counting forever, and I'd be counting too, realistically, okay? So, God will give us a command, and sometimes we don't carry it out. And instead of owning up to it, what do? We offer an excuse, right? Sometimes I just heard Pastor Annalisa say, or procrastinate. Not to do it, to do something not in a timely manner. That's another means of disobedience. Did you know that? God wants it done now. He gives us a command. He wants us moving, okay? So let's look at an example or two of this in action. Sometimes it's good when you see it and you can arrive at certain conclusions. Let's go to our Bibles and let's start in the beginning, okay? I'm going to ask my lovely wife, pastor, sister, friend, Annalisa Jones.
Mother.
Mother.
Genesis.
Yeah, I guess I could say she's my mother. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 9 to 13, and read that for us, please.
Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 13 mm-hmm. says, starting with verse 9, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' Mm-hmm. And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.'" Verse 13, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'"
Okay, so what do we see here? We see right here, from the very inception of man, that he's been making excuses. That's the first, y'all. Adam and Eve, okay, right there. We're in trouble. There we go, making excuses, right? Making excuses to the Lord. And in this case, both Adam and Eve had sinned, right? They both sinned against the Lord, and both made excuses for their actions, right? Okay. They had, of course, eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was prohibited by God. Have you ever done that? Your parents tell you don't do something. You can eat this, but don't touch that cake. Don't touch those cookies. And they come home, you got crumbs all over your mouth. She asks you if you took it or not, you know, you can't even open your mouth. And then you point at your brother or sister and say, "Well, we made it too." See, now that's your excuse. So we see we're like children. And Adam and Eve were like children, okay? It was prohibited by God. And when confronted by God about their actions, what they do, they offered excuses, right? So instead of owning up to their misconduct, both of them, Adam and Eve, felt that it was better to make excuses. And why? Why do we do that? Why'd they do it? Well, you know, the devil was lurking even then, wasn't he? Huh? We know about 1 Peter 5:8 that tells us to be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, does what? Prowls about, right? Okay, and he was doing it then. He came as the serpent, right? He came in the form of a serpent, right? And so the devil was lurking, but something else had set in. You know what that something else is? Pride. Pride set in, okay? Take us to Proverbs 16:18, Pastor, please, and read that one for us. Look at this. Let's look at pride for just a quick second. You all already know about it because we all got some of it, don't we? We don't want to claim it, but you know.
Proverbs 16:18 says, mm-hmm. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall."
A haughty spirit, okay? A haughty spirit before a fall, okay? And we see how pride sets in. What pride does then, it erodes things. Pride erodes things. It erodes like mold. You know how mold, it saturates the wood, and before you know it, things start crumbling? That's how pride is. It goes before the fall. That's what they say. When pride comes, something's about to fall. Pride is like an axe that chops at a tree. We're that tree, and it just keeps working at us until you got to say, "Timber!" And that's what happened to Adam and Eve, isn't it? They fell, okay? So our thinking, if we think about it that way, it does. It causes many, many people to fall. We see pride in the government now. People doing wrong, lying to your face. not just once or twice, but over and over and over again. Like, don't believe your eyes. Don't you believe me? Don't you believe this? And you see the evidence. This is pride, okay? And pride kills, you know? Pride brings people down. So we see that even in the beginning, Adam and Eve had this pride, and they started making excuses. And notice another thing. They were quick to point fingers at each other. That's something to look at. Adam basically pointed at Eve and said, the woman gave me the fruit, okay? That woman right there, that's the one, Lord. Now, he just sold poor Eve out right away. That woman. She's not his woman anymore. She's that woman. The woman. He named her, but he ain't even called her Eve now. He said, the woman. She belonged to you. He wanted to give her to somebody else. Why? Because he got caught. And he gives up an excuse. You know, this is the same lady that he was saying, she's bone of my bone. This is the same lady that the Lord plucked out a rib, made out of. Must have been a short rib, because a little while after that, he said that woman must have been a floating rib, because Adam started getting away from it. That woman right there. That's what excuses will do. It just drive you bananas. The devil will make you look stupid. And that's what he did. That's exactly what happened. Adam sure did try to put the fault on Eve, okay? That was like a spiritual floating away. That's the only reason I know it had to be a floating rib. But let's look at Eve. Eve did some finger pointing too, didn't she? Who did she point at? She pointed at the serpent, right? Everybody point. No, you did it. No, his fault. No, her fault. No, it's his fault. One who the devil would point at. They didn't have to do it, right? I just suggested it, but the Bible doesn't say, does it? And that's what happened. The bottom line is that neither Adam nor Eve was willing to take responsibility for their actions. That's the main thing. They weren't willing to take responsibility for their misconduct and disobedience. But let's look at this. Let's look at let's move on in our examples, okay? Let's go to, Pastor, can you take us to the next, take us to Exodus 32. Please. And when you get there, could you take us through verses 1 to 5 and then skip down to 21 to 24, because we can't read this whole thing. We'll chop it up. Exodus
piece by piece.
32, verse 1 to 5.
Exodus 32, verses 1 to 5 tells us, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come make us gods that shall go before us. Mm-hmm. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Mm-hmm. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 says, so all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron.
All right.
And he received the gold from their hand, mm-hmm. and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf.
All right.
And then they said, this is your God, mm-hmm. O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.
All right.
Verse 5 says, so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
All right, just wait, hold on a minute. You see old Aaron, boy, Aaron said, I'm just a calf-making dude. Give me some gold, I'll melt it, I'm your boy, I'll do it for you. He said, we're going to have a feast on top of it. He's ready to celebrate, right? Go ahead, Pastor.
Wasn't in a hurry. Exodus 32, verses 21 to 24 tells us, and Moses said to Aaron, coming down,
now,
Moses
this is when
said
Moses
to
found
Aaron,
out, right? Okay, go ahead.
And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? Mm-hmm. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil.
There they go. There he goes. Go ahead.
They are set on evil. Uh-huh. Verse 23. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Verse 24, final verse. And I said to them, Whoever has any gold, and I said to them, Aaron speaking, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Just a thought. I'm going to get back to this bud for a minute, but what if the Lord was going to do another Bible after this is over and he used us for it? I'd hate for my story to be like that. Wouldn't you hate for something in there to be like you? I mean, to represent you that way? Okay, anyway, we see. she's calling Aaron a liar. Okay. But we see right here that what's chronicled in Exodus is so poignant. It's so sad. Okay, it's a sad bit of history. It really is, because certainly here you see the brother of Moses. Aaron was Moses' brother, okay? Okay? Aaron was the brother of Moses. Here you see a man who certainly was called, he was appointed, and he was anointed. He was anointed, right? Okay. So in Exodus, we see this man, Aaron. He was supposed to be a spokesman, right? A spokesman to the people. That's what the Lord had told Moses. That's back in Exodus 4. He told Aaron that Moses, that Aaron would be his spokesman. So, you know, that's quite a job, okay? And, among other things, he was going to be a priest for the Lord, isn't that right? Now we see that. Now I selected these particular verses for a reason. In Exodus chapter 32, because of course. Our time today, it won't permit us to go through the whole thing. But in your private time, of course, you can reread this and reread the Bible. I suggest that we reread the Bible whenever we can, because when you read it, as I say, you find something new, or it comes at you a certain way because it's the living Word of God. And some of the things we see, you see this all the time. But when you sit down and look at it again, you say, did he really do that? And he did. And this man was called by the Lord. Now, if we see people who were called by the Lord and saw the Red Sea being parted and everything else, and they were susceptible to making excuses, you know we make some excuses today, don't we? You know we do, okay? But regarding this lesson today, we want to focus on how this man, this leader who was Aaron, he succumbed to disobedience and excuse making, to the excuse making to such a great degree. These passages reveal how easy it is for humans, even God's own special people, as it says in 1 Peter 2:9, a holy nation, even a royal priesthood, right? But when it came down to taking care of business, Aaron took no responsibility for his despicable conduct. He didn't. Instead, just as Adam and Eve did, Aaron pointed at somebody else, didn't he? What did he say? These people, right? Sounds like the woman, doesn't it? Eerily similar, okay? He pointed at the people out to Moses, telling them that the people were evil and they told him to make gods for them. He all but said, Moses, they made me do it. He all but said, they tied me up and they twisted my arm and made me say uncle, then made me make a calf. He practically said that, right? Does anybody remember? Back in the day, there was an old TV comedian. I think he had a sitcom. This was long before I was saved, so don't go blaming me. Don't get mad at me. But it was in the 70s, right? Y'all remember Flip Wilson?
Yeah.
What was his rallying cry when he did his little act? I can't say it like him, but the devil made me do it. Something like that he used to say, right? That phrase, it was a joke, you know, and I took it as a joke because, I was a kid and I thought it was funny. But actually, now that I know Jesus, I certainly understand the meaning behind that phrase. I understand it better now and understand it much clearer than when I was an unsaved teenager in the 70s. I see it now. Uh-huh. Now I understand. But I still don't understand why Flip had to dress as a woman and say it. But whatever. Whatever the case, I believe him when he said the devil made him do that too. But but we got to look at this and see that the devil is behind a lot of the things that we do, okay? And he influences us. He influenced Aaron, right? He gave him a suggestion. He may have influenced the people that Aaron talked about. And that's what the devil will do. He'll get us to make excuses, and that's what Aaron did. He made excuses to uphold his act of disobedience to the Lord. He even went as far as to tell a blatant lie. That's a blatant lie, like as if somebody's crazy. Verse 24, he said that when they threw it into the fire, voila, he comes out as Z-calf. He turned French, you may as well say. He just said, like, wow, it just came out as a calf. Tell me the devil ain't slick. Boy, the devil have a good time with us. This is another example of why God hates excuses. He hates excuses. Better just to tell the truth. Better just to own up to it with the Lord and repent. Amen? All right, it's better to do that. But when we make excuses, something else brewing. Pastor, take us to the book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs 19:5. Read that one for us. Let's see what that says.
Proverbs 19:5 says, mm-hmm. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape.
All right. You can't get away with it, you all. You can't get away with it. We can't get away with it. We can't get away with lying and making excuses, not with God. It's in his word right there, okay? See, saints, excuses, they lead to lying. And we'll talk about that a little more in depth, but excuses are precursors to lying, you know? And the thing about lying is once you tell a lie, you got to remember the lie. When I was in college, we had a whole course on lying. The name of the course was On Lying. On lying, and it told you how dreadful it is. Don't even get started telling lies. You can't remember them for one thing. And then when you have to repeat it, then it comes back years later. And you got to tell that same lie. And the person, now the lie has spread and it's gone out there and other people know about it. So now everybody's looking at you lying. And you can't remember the lie, the first lie that you told, so you tell a different lie. So it complicates things. So it's hard. That's what they do in court. That's why they bring in witnesses. They say, what did you see, lady? And you say, well, I saw this. He said, okay, any more questions? I said, no, Your Honor. Bring in another witness. What did you see? Tell us what happened on the night in question. He said, but are you the only one that was there? Yes. But the other lady said it was two people. You see what I mean? And so now we find out through investigations who did what. And that's how they catch crooks. Well, okay. This is what the Lord is saying. How can we be children of God and give in to lies and excuses? All right? So it tells us right here in this proverb that a false witness will not go unpunished.
It is written that you may be justified in your words. Therefore, we need to serve the Lord with a pure heart and clean hands. Amen. Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide, trust the Lord to draw you, protect you, and keep you healthy and strong. During these troubling times, know that God is with us and will bring us through victoriously. If you're feeling alone, frustrated, or in need of encouragement, our prayer warriors are here and ready to pray with you. Give us a call at 707-759-5244. You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We love hearing from our listeners. Connect with us on Facebook. Submit comments, prayer requests, and praise reports on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And if Pastor Joel's messages are ministering to you, let us know. Simply drop us a note at our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button on our website to give today. As a friendly reminder, all on-site services have been canceled until the shelter-in-place order is lifted. Sunday worship services are available on Periscope at 1 p.m. and available on YouTube and on SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. We also invite you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesdays as we walk through the Bible together. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for part two of Obey Without Delay with Pastor Joel. Until next time.